Welcome to Weekly Winners. Today is Monday, August 9th. I, of course, am Jer. We do not have Cody at the very start of today's episode. He's out of town for the weekend, but we do have him on the majority of this episode for two very new exciting segments that we're going to try out. And I know what everyone's thinking. They're, Jer, what was this act you were putting on? Ha ha ha. Very funny how you're pretending to be the worst gambler, maybe of all time. Oh, fade your picks, fade your picks. Pick losers. Go 1-4 after going 0-4 the day before. Go down almost 10 units in the hole. Tell everyone to fade your picks, and then come back, go 4-1, and make over half those units back. Make 5 units in one day. Screw us out of all our hard-earned money. You tell us to fade you. Well, don't hop off the gravy train of fading my baseball picks just yet. For those of you, hashtag fade Jer's pick faithfuls. Today, Sunday, I came through for you. 1-4. It was 0-4 all day. White Sox come back to slaughter the Cubs in Chicago to give me that one win. Still lost over 3 units today. Back minus 7.5. And what do I do? I take the actual winner we have, the actual good gambler on baseball on this show, and we take him off this episode. So, really, fading my picks is now the only possible way that you're going to make money when listening to this show. And although Cody did have the one bet today, he was actually down in Milwaukee. He wanted to get a win for you guys so bad. He made the trip all the way down to go to the Brewers game. He gave out one pick today, and that was the Giants money line minus 115. The Giants, of course, playing the Brewers in Milwaukee. And this was the lock of the century. Of course, I forgot about his terrible streak of going to Brewers games. When Cody is in attendance, the Brewers are 0-21 and now 0-22. And I completely forgot he was going to the game today. And, of course, I bet the Brewers minus 1 against the Giants. So that was an automatic loss. I thought that the curse was being broken. They were up late into that game, but they blow it at the end. 0-22 and Cody's in attendance. He wins his one bet today. So, yeah, if he's got to go all the way down to Milwaukee and miss the first part of the episode just to get you guys one win, he'll do it. And that's why he is the far superior gambler on this show. A couple of news stories. Not a whole lot going on this week outside of baseball. Hall of Fame game happened. Who cares? As excited as I get for football, preseason really does nothing for me. Despite my team, the Steelers, being in the Hall of Fame game, I watched next to none of it. I flipped it on right at the start to see if any starters were playing. Kind of see a couple of Najee Harris carries. But, yeah, nothing. No preseason games really do it that much for me. The men's basketball and women's basketball brought home the gold. A lot of the sentiment I was seeing was not congratulatory towards the men. More like, wow, look how obvious it is how much the gap has shrunk between the U.S. and the rest of the world. And yeah, maybe you could have said that if they left without a medal or they lost in the game. It was a close game with France. But, I mean, as long as you see Kevin Durant, when he's out there, when he decides to do it, he always kind of has that in his back pocket. Like, if he feels like it, and a lot of those guys on that roster, when they feel like it, if they're like, all right, we've heard enough of this, let's go actually win this thing, they can clearly do it. So, yeah, until we actually leave without a medal, it's fun to, you know, talk. See, Luka was very exciting carrying his team. But yeah, until the United States doesn't win the gold, and maybe that day is coming, but until then, you know, I'm not ready to have the conversation of doing anything drastic, like a dream, redeem, whatever the third iteration of that would be. Yeah, we can table those talks for now. But yeah, I wanted to keep this short and brief, get to the meat of this episode. And now it's time for our brand new segment. We are the Weekly Winners Podcast, but we're going to start giving out on every Monday episode our personal weekly winners. What person, team, coach do we think had the best week? Who is our weekly winner? And for me, I think no one had a better week this last week than Chris Paul. Opting out of a $41 million player option at the age of 36 and kind of using that president of the players union leverage to get 4 years, $120 million, getting the Suns to pay $33 million when you're for your 39-year-old season. There are some people in baseball that were kind of killing it, but I would be remiss if I did not give my inaugural weekly winner to Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, that was a move. Let's put it that way. It was getting that bread.
Just gut feeling. 2024-2025, is Chris Paul playing for the Suns?
No.
I think it's they move on from him. He's like a really bio candidate at that point.
I think he's more likely to be a bio candidate than the Suns just moving on.
Yeah.
Because I guess the Suns org, like if I'm in their org, you know, higher up there, I look at it like just as at how much better they were with him than without.
Yeah.
So I don't think they'd ever like move on. I think right. They would at least let him finish out his contract and just not re-sign him. Mm. You know,
it's been such a dark time for the Suns recently that if you got so close to the mountaintop and you didn't like kind of give that team another chance to run it back, you'd be crucified by your fan base. But right. I don't want to rain on his parade too much. Chris Paul, congratulations. You are my inaugural weekly winner. Who are you going to give your first award to?
So my first award's actually going to a team rather than a specific player. So as of recording this, the Phillies are on a 6-game win streak, just overthrew the Mets for first place in the NL East. They're just riding hot. I mean, I know the Thursday night game, they were down by 2. And Juan Soto got robbed of a dinger, kind of seemed like it was over. Then they roll up and drop 4 runs in the top of the 9th. And I mean, just something's brewing. Six games, don't want to make it seem bigger than it is, but they kind of got a hot hand right now and looking to keep it going.
Yeah, Bryce Harper playing like an MVP candidate again, which
right.
has got to feel good for Phillies fans.
Yeah, I mean, because I guess if you're a Phillies, after the first year of that deal, you're kind of thinking, what did we just spend our money on? You know?
Right. A lot of years left.
Right. But yeah, I mean, he homered again Friday night, which was a big dinger. It was just a 2-run game. Yeah, so the Phillies are awarded with my inaugural winner of the week or weekly winner, however
yeah.
you want to put it.
Congratulations to the Phillies and Chris Paul. We'd happily have you on to accept the awards. I know you're both listening. But it kind of has come to our attention, and we realized that we are a primarily gambling show, talking about our picks each week. But right now, although we are kind of going through the waves of states legalizing sports betting, not everyone is in a place right now where they can bet online legally. And it can be difficult to go out and find yourself a bookie if you do live in one of these states. So while we appreciate those who listen from those places, where you're not currently able to bet on the picks we're giving out or fade the picks we're giving out, we do want to also kind of highlight some other ways that you can have some fun, enhance your sport watching experience that is legal in throughout the U.S., whether that be, you know, a daily fantasy, another creative website, just things that we see, we think are interesting, and we use. We're never going to come on and pump something that we wouldn't use ourselves. And the first website that we've kind of stumbled across that we really like the concept of is Symbol. That's S-I-M-B-U-L-L. They have a web app. Cody's the one who first discovered it and made me aware of it. So I'll kind of let him take you guys through the really kind of cool concept that they have figured out for an alternate way to make some money off your sports knowledge.
Yeah, so I discovered Symbol in February of 2021 here. Kind of right after the Super Bowl. I don't know. It was just kind of a dull time for sports betting. I was kind of, you have the NBA, but as y'all know, I'm not a big NBA bettor. So I was just trying to find something so I could get a little gambling action. And so I stumbled across Symbol. So basically what Symbol is, it's kind of a cross between sports betting and investing. So you can invest or buy one share of any NFL, MLB, NBA, and they recently just added college football team. So you can buy one share. And now how you make money would be, so like, let's say you buy one share of the 49ers. So right now that costs you $55.63. It would cost you if you were to buy it. And for every game they win, you get paid what is essentially a dividend on that win of 50 cents. So now 50 cents applies to NFL, but because there's so many games in NBA and MLB, there's different payout structures for that. So NBA, you get 10 cents per win, and then MLB, you get 5 cents per win, which again makes sense because there's 10 times more MLB games than there are football games. So you get paid 10 times more for football because you have that many less games. So you can buy and sell shares at any time. Right now, each team is capped off at 100 shares per team. I'm sure as they expand, they would, you know, as more players become familiar with Symbol and want to give it a try, I'm sure they'll have to introduce more shares into the market eventually.
They do have a system where they say as they grow, they will be introducing more shares into a market, but they kind of on their website are assuring all their users that when that happens, they'll announce how many shares they're going to introduce and when that's going to happen. And I think they're going to try to give plenty of heads up to the existing users on when that's going to happen. Because obviously, if you if the amount of shares available for the Chargers doubles, that's going to kind of affect it. So you don't really, it's good that you wouldn't get blindsided by that. But yeah, currently
Right.
100 shares per team.
So now if so now again, it's really all about investing. So you kind of want the whole goal of it, I think, is to buy teams that you feel are undervalued. Now let's say you want to buy the Chiefs because you know they got Mahomes, they got Tyreek Hill, they got Travis Kelce locked into deals. Like you're like, okay, this team is gonna win games for the foreseeable future. You know, they're gonna win games. Well, that share is gonna cost you $60 a piece right now. And so what that means at 50 cents a win, they need to win 120 games to get your initial investment back. Now you still retain equity in the share. But they need to win 120 games for you to get that $60 back in your pocket and also still own the share. So basically, what that means, let's say the Chiefs average 12 wins a year. That means it would take 10 years for you to get your initial $60 back. So that might not be the greatest investment. So now there's teams like the Texans, if you want to buy at $30 a share, if you think that they're going to take giant leaps in the near future and be a 12-win team, well, then that would only take you 5 years to get your initial $30 investment back.
Yeah, the Texans are a true outlier right now. At $30 for a share of that team, easily the lowest in the NFL. Even to get to the second lowest, which is the Lions, you have to go all the way up to like $37. That's just, it's just
Right.
a massive gap. The Texans are just,
And
no one's buying right now for them.
right. So, something I've kind of picked up on here is, or I guess using symbol and kind of picked up on throughout this is once a sport becomes out of season, their shares drop quite a bit. Like if you go to NBA, the defending champion Bucks, you can get them at $38 a share. Or, you know, if you want to even go lower and look at the Rockets, they're at $22 a share. The Pistons, $21 a share. And then baseball, I mean, still, you know, still a good chunk of the season left, but we're getting towards the end, and you're really seeing those share prices drop. Not significantly yet, because like I say, there is still a good chunk of the MLB season left, but you are seeing those share prices drop a little bit here.
It does make sense though. Like if we put it into kind of investing terms, say you were invested in a company and they pay out 10% dividend on your investment every year. And then they say, oh, we're going to stop paying investments, paying these dividends for the next year. We're not going to pay them next year, but we're going to pick it up the year after that. Oh, the value of their stock would go down a little bit
Right.
right when they, because you're not, you cannot collect on that. So in the off season, you're generally, you can buy a little bit lower, but in order to, you know, see gains on that, you have to hold it through the time where the team isn't giving you any money because they're not winning any games because they're not playing any games.
Right. So, my initial strategy, which has been pretty successful so far. So like I said, I got into Symbol like right after the Super Bowl. So NFL shares were down for the most part. Teams like the Jags were up just because everyone's like, okay, they're gonna go out and get Trevor Lawrence. And then they're gonna be good. Like so teams like that had high draft picks and you know, you kind of knew they were going to get a good quarterback. They were up, but the rest of the teams were all pretty much down. So we all know how big of a Cardinals fan I am. So I bought 5 shares of the Cardinals for 1870, $18.70 a share, plus the symbol does take $1 per transaction because that's how they're able to, they rely on the transactions, I believe, to be able to pay out the dividends.
I believe there is also a premium option, if you are someone who's like wants to kind of do the day trade version of this and buy a stock of a team or buy a share of the team and sell it after a win, or if a team goes on a two-game skid, buy low, wait for them to recover a little bit. I believe there's a premium option where you pay a flat yearly fee and can trade as much as you want.
Yeah. But yeah, so I bought, like I said, bought the Cardinals at 1870 a share plus $1. So let's just say 1970 a share. And then, once OTAs and stuff started up, NFL shares were really starting to kind of heat up. And eventually the Cardinals hit 43.38 a share. And that's where I sold. Or sorry, 43.48, not 38. A share, and then I sold that, so I 2x'd my money in the off season. So there's kind of two different ways of doing symbol.
Yeah.
You can either do it the off season way, where you just want to rely on a team either making a big free agent signing, or you just want to rely on the hype of the sport starting up and people wanting to buy teams in that sport to get that passive income. Or you can be one of those persons buying towards the start of a season and trying to get that passive income.
It is also kind of hard to say how much, or impossible to say really, how much of that is off season change versus symbol kind of getting more members.
You're
That's
right.
naturally going to drive the prices up, because I think even during the season last season we weren't hitting the numbers that we're seeing right now for the NFL teams.
Right. And I do think we're getting to the point where there are enough buyers that I wouldn't be surprised if there's more shares released, because we are getting to the point now where pretty much any team you buy, you're not seeing a 100% return on your money for at least double digit years, you know.
Yeah. So there are kind of like you mentioned, there's kind of two outlooks. You could kind of like Cody did, you can look for it and you can do this in the short or long term. Say, I'm going to buy this share of a team and I want to make money based on how I think their share price is going to move. You'd say, I want to buy them at $45, and I think at the end of the season that they're going to be up at $60, or I'm going to buy them the off season, and I think they're going to have they have good draft they have a lot of draft picks, or I think they're going to make some free agent moves that are going to make that's going to make their share more valuable. Or you can kind of take the look and see, well, who do I think is value to get wins based on the price of their share currently? And that's kind of what I the viewpoint that I took a look at. So, not to get too analytical with it, but what I did is I went through all 32 teams and I took down what the ask price was for their share. Basically, there's someone who owns a share that is saying, hey, I'll sell it to you for this amount. So you that's the amount you could buy that share for today if you wanted to. So I took that amount and then I went and looked at the win totals as we kind of went over the win totals in our last few shows. I took the win totals for all the teams. So kind of taking my bias out of it, saying, hey, here's what Vegas is saying, these how many games these teams are going to win this year. And then I also looked at kind of Super Bowl odds, playoff odds, conference championship odds to because you do there is a bonus if you're, if the team you own makes the playoffs, because that's more games that they get to play. More games they get to play, that's more chances to win and get that 50-cent payout for winning. So I said, who do they think, how many playoff games do we think is going to win? So basically, the if you go exactly by the odds, and this is obviously not how it's going to happen, but I didn't want to add any of my bias into it. If you go just by the odds, they're saying the Chiefs would win three playoff games, the Packers, Bucks, and Bills would win two playoff games, and the Rams, 49ers, Ravens, and Browns would win one playoff game. That's kind of what the odds would be telling you. Obviously, it would be higher for both Bucks and Chiefs, but that's who would be projected to get the one seed, which in this situation, maybe you wouldn't want your team getting the one seed. You'd rather them get the two seed and get to go against that seven seed because that's an extra game that the one seed doesn't get to play. So basically, I took those. So use that to kind of say, project how many wins we're looking for at this season, and then divide that by their current ask price to kind of give you your percent return just for like the 2021 season from September through the Super Bowl. And so the highest projected for that would be the Packers, actually, which makes some sense because this year they should be pretty good, but you could see how there would be some fall off after this year.
Right. I
Like
mean,
it's possible you buy them, they do win a good amount of games, like 12 and a half, like the odds would project. And then immediately after the season, Rodgers is like, all right, we had like fun with our last dance thing, but I am truly out. And their price would plummet right away. So that'd be kind of a it might not matter if the amount you spent at the start dips all the way down right at the end of the season. Doesn't matter how much they win because you're not going to recoup that amount. That so it goes, the top ones are Packers, Chiefs, Bucks, Bills, Colts, Rams, 49ers, Ravens, Cowboys. That's saying for this year, those are the ones you could make the most on. And it kind of makes sense. You kind of have your high-end teams up there that are because you're looking just for wins for just this one year. This is looking very short term because there's teams like the Jaguars who seem like they would have a lot of a future, but they might not, that might not translate into wins this year.
right.
And then your bottom teams, I think that's interesting, is your Bengals, Lions, Texans, Jets, Jaguars, Bears, which not a lot of projected, relatively cheap still. The Bengals are abysmal. You're looking at about a 5% return on investment with the Bengals because they're the fourth most expensive team on Symbol right now, and their win total is still only 6.5. So obviously, a lot of people projecting long term to the future with that one. But for this year, that'd be one you would want to hang on to long term. And frankly, I don't really see the value in buying them at $56 right now.
Yeah.
So then I decided, all right, I did my analytics. I took my biases out. Now let's take my those same biases and put them right back into it. And I said, let's have a little, let's go long term with it. What do I think? Who would I want to hold for 5 years, let's say? I think that's about the max amount you could try to project a team's success. Because any further than that, it would be possible to know how many who's even on the team. There could be so much turnover in the past 5 years. So what I did is I basically took the year one is exactly the same as it was from the original calculation I made, and then I kind of took I graded teams on kind of give them a multiplier based on how bright I think their future is. So I think the highest one I gave was a 1.4, or 1.5. I gave the Bengals a 1.5. I think over the next 5 years, Burrow, they have a lot of young pieces. I think they are, and obviously when you can see the prices on it, a lot of people agree with that they have a very bright future. I think the Chargers and Cardinals are both in the 1.4 range. They're very bright futures, a lot of young pieces. And then teams that I didn't really think, like the Packers and Bucks, old quarterbacks you think are going to be out pretty soon. Decent cores, but you really don't know what the future holds for them. Seahawks and Saints, kind of a in similar boats. They're down closer to like 0.7-ish. I think they're the next 5 years are less than they would be. But then you get to teams like the Lions. Like the Lions, I kept at a dead one. Like obviously the future is not that bright for the Lions, but they're already down at 5 wins this year. So there's not exactly a ton of room to go down. So it's kind of, and that's kind of thing that hurts the Packers and Bucks too. Their win totals this year are so high that there's really only room for them to go down.
Yeah.
So based on that, over 5 years, there's actually four teams that I've projected that you can make a 50% return on investment just from your dividends, your win payouts. And it's the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Chargers, and surprise, surprise, the Steelers. And then the kind of on your other end, I think the teams that we could, there's three teams that come in at the bottom with like a 27% return on investment. And those are the Raiders, Eagles, and Lions. As you're just not going to get a whole lot of win payouts with those teams. But I don't want to just be painted as the homer picking my team for everything. I think there's a real legitimate reason why the Steelers would be a good investment, and the reason why I have several shares of the Steelers on Symbol is obviously this year, one, Mike Tomlin just doesn't have losing seasons. Like they're just not an organization that's going to win 3 or 4 games in a year. Like you're not going to make no money on them in a season. And in their division, obviously we've talked about the Bengals. They seem to be coming up. But on the other end, with the Ravens and the Browns, both Baker and Lamar are due for extensions. They're going to start making way more money than they make right now. And naturally, what happens when that time comes is the rosters around them, they get worse. They have to. You can't afford to pay that extra edge rusher or that extra corner because you're paying three times more to your quarterback than you currently are. And when both of those things happen, obviously the Steelers will have a question at quarterback. But if with the young defense they have in place, if they can bring in a young quarterback who can just be solid for them, and they'll be the ones in the division with the cheap quarterback at that point. And if they can keep that defense they have in place, I think they would really be poised to kind of continue enough to kick off another period of dominance in the AFC North. So over 5 years, I think they would be an excellent investment on Symbol. If you're looking for just this year, no, that's probably not the team you'd be looking at. Obviously, that's my favorite team. I love the Steelers. So that's, I'm always going to believe them. Those are shares that I'm willing to hold for multiple years because it's just that little bit extra. It's like, oh, your team wins and you kind of get that extra payout in your account the next day. So that's a team I really like. The 49ers, I think, are a team in a similar vein, but maybe even more poised to strike more immediately as soon as this year. And then Cody would love the Cardinals are also kind of in that same boat. But yeah, that's kind of the our first spotlight of a sports betting alternative that you can use to hopefully make some money, but mostly just kind of have a little bit more fun. With your football watching or any other. If you guys like the kind of symbol, the market analysis that we had here, I think we in a few weeks or a month or so, we'd love to do kind of a very similar thing for NBA teams, or even a breakdown of who we think is a good off-season bet once the MLB is over. So yeah, that is where we're going to leave it for the week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys on Thursday.